All right, they just posted that it's with the wind chill right now. This is the 7 a.m. numbers. And again, the official temperature stuff we always get is that they measured at the airport. For consistency's sake, it's always in the same spot. Minus 41. Minus 41. That'll freeze the you-know-what off of you-know-what. That's what that is right there. Minus 26 temperature, minus 41.
It's a kick in the balls for us.
That, Matt Duchesne, and if you did that, they'd break right off. That's what would be happening,
would
minus
be,
41.
Actually. You could probably pick those off at this point. They'd be frozen.
They're all tucked up in their nice tight weather like this.
No, it's funny because my glass half-full weather app had that for a little while, JR. The old minus 25, a little minus 41.
Mm.
And yeah.
You that's because you live out near the airport down there in North Manitou.
I guess.
But your neck of the woods.
Yeah, had that for a while. But yeah, it is a morning where.
It doesn't matter once you're below minus 20, it's all the same.
But
it,
this one's a dry cold. Yeah. All I can picture, and I always, because the coldest basically inhabitable city on the planet is Yakutsk. Which is part of Russia,
yeah,
and that's all I can picture is they show these crazy photo or film of people driving around, and when you see the exhaust kind of the car's angry, right? The engine is it's kind of blowing like a dragon,
yep.
And the exhaust doesn't really know where to go, right? It's just going all over the place.
It doesn't dance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know it's really cold when you're in traffic and the exhaust in the car in front of you does a little dance and it comes out of the pipe.
It's just all over. It's an angry dragon.
A little mamba.
And we know how the sound is when you go to walk on it. We know in that special hue that the highway has where you think at first it's covered with snow, JR, but you realize the pavement is the color that we all associate with being super cold. And what a perfect day to go on the canal. The canal is going to open up, and it's minus 41.
No, it's not. No, it's not open. It's not open at all, and it's not open in this weekend.
Okay.
It's good to get it ready to go for next week.
It'll be raining.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
By Sunday, it's still find this, to wrap my head around this, the fact that on Sunday, the high temperature is going to be 1 degree. We're at minus 41 right now with wind chill. By Sunday, it's going to be 1. Mm-hmm. And by the middle of next week, there's the possibility we actually could see a little bit of shower action. It's going to be pretty warm all of next week. Hey, listen, if we get through this winter, and my winter thing is I'm good with all kinds of snow, and we've had all kinds of snow, relatively speaking. I don't like, and I don't know anybody that likes super cold like that. Like, this is brutal.
No.
But if this is it, like, if we only have to do this, this is the first cold snap we've really had all winter. If we only have to do this for 2 days, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I am good to go. I can survive 2 days.
Yeah, and even for the people that like the outdoors, God, if you're going out to do downhill skiing, well, you're not going to be. Although,
that's
I think
the snow, just not the cold.
Yeah, I guess things have, and it should be a long ski season as well, I hope, for everybody, if you're interested in that. And
now, I have one, one kid heading to Quebec City this weekend.
Oh, nice.
For Carnival with her boyfriend. I've got another kid who's going to Trombeau this weekend to ski. I connected with both of them this week. I connected with them. I didn't text them. I actually talked to one of them because she shares the house with me.
You talk. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. And I said, are you sure about this? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so she was getting packed up last night. She had her all going on. Scarves and neck warmers and I saw her eyes. That was it. She left the house last
night. That's not a bad thing. And you get to old Carnival. I'm just thinking about having a little hot wine. That's one of the things. You cruise around. And we are fortunate now, I will say. There is a lot of technology out there to keep us a whole lot warmer than those beautiful work boots that I fashioned as a teenager with my jean jacket and coat. There's a lot of good stuff out there now where you can feel pretty darn good and if you want to be just dressed properly.
Yeah. All right. So, listen, to everybody out there, stay warm as best you can. Anybody that does have to work outside. Now, imagine if your regular job, like if you're in construction or whatever, I would imagine today would be a day which you would not work. I can't imagine having to work in this kind of cold that would probably be canceled, but if you do have to be outside, there is frostbite warnings and all that other stuff. Exposed skin can freeze very quickly, so just make sure you're extra bundled up. It is really, really, really cold out there this morning. All right, 7:22. Dave Poulin will join us coming up next hour, as per usual. We'll touch on NHL All-Star Weekend, some news that has transpired over the last couple of days. By the time Monday rolls around, if you haven't looked at the schedule, and I know there wasn't any NHL games last night, none tonight, it's the Skills. Tomorrow's the game, the All-Star Games. Sunday's a day off. By Monday, they actually start playing again, and there's, I think, 7 or 8 games on Monday. So we'll be right back into the game starting next week. But Dave Poulin next hour, and then after 9, Justin Dunk. Sunday is the start of it's kind of the unofficial start of CFL free agency, because that's the legal tampering period when you can start talking to other teams free agency, free agents. And so we'll maybe get some indication of some movement, perhaps, and some names that the Ottawa Redblacks might be interested in that played for other teams. Justin Dunk will join us coming up after 9 o'clock. But we'll start with the big news of the day here in Ottawa. And for all of last night, as I was preparing the notes for today's show, I was going, good thing it's a Friday. We free for all Friday. We can kind of go in a bunch of different directions. And then at about 10 o'clock last night, came a news release from the Ottawa Senators that they had fired the coach of their American Hockey League team, Troy Mann, just minutes after Mann had coached the BSens to a win 5-3 over Rochester. The release, the statement from the Sens last night said, and this quote comes from Assistant General Manager Ryan Bonus, who is the general manager of the Belleville Senators, saying the move was, quote, for the short and long-term growth of the players, as well as the cohesion in systematic play between Ottawa and Belleville, end quote. General Manager Pierre Dorion said it was necessary to deliver improved team performance. Those were the two comments from management with the Ottawa Senators. There, of course, was nothing from Troy Mann. I am told that the players themselves were taken by surprise by the move, which came, as I said, just a couple of minutes after the game last night. And after the Sens had not played a game since last Saturday until last night. So there was a long period of time that if you were contemplating a change, that maybe you might have made it earlier this week. Again, I've never been in management before. You have. So that part is a little bit curious to me. Or if you were thinking about a change, you've got another big, long gap happening after you play tomorrow night, Saturday night. You play a game, and then it's the American Hockey League All-Star Game. You don't play again until next Friday. So, there's a period of about 6 days between games. So to have it happen between two games, you know, again, we don't know everything.
No,
always,
we don't.
You know, we can speculate a lot, and we can try to read the tea leaves as best we can, and you certainly can, having been in the position of being a general manager of an American Hockey League team better than most.
Yeah.
But on the surface, I think for a lot of people, a lot of reaction we're getting this morning, a lot of people are very curious and not very happy overall with this move.
Well, here's the things I'll take from the quote. From the general manager saying you need increased performance, that's not a very good hockey team in Belleville, so I don't buy much into that, JR. And here is the thing, and I've worked with American League coaches, and a cross-section, anyone from Brian Trotche to Glenn Hanlon to Paul Maurice, a lot of guys, and I'll tell you what, when you have a guy like Mann, one of the things that's not easy is to say to him, here's what you say, because I worked with Glenn Hanlon, and Glenn wanted to do a great job with developing, but Glenn Hanlon also wanted to get to the NHL, and I know Mr. Mann wants to get to the NHL, but you at times have to sacrifice your own wins and losses, and this is where you need the support of the organization, because that's not, and again, I say this all the time, we want to have a winner in our American League team. Nobody almost ever that's won the Calder Cup has any correlation to doing it. Look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, Kyle Dubas, we won the Calder Cup. Go through their roster of what impact they have had in the NHL team. Almost nothing, JR. So to my point, you have to park your ego, and you need the support of the organization to say, listen, of course we want to win, but let's be realistic. What are you here for? You're here to develop our young players, just like Luke Richardson did in Bingo.
Our best young players.
Or any young players. Yeah. Because the coach could easily say, well, you know, I'm going to actually play the guys here that are going to make me win every night. You know what I mean? It's not easy. And so I'll throw the whole performance thing out the door because it's not a very good hockey team. Now, let's get into the development of our young players. This guy's done a hell of a job. If we then want to get into the last quote about the cohesion with the system of the Ottawa Senators, like, come on, people. Like, let's not. When you're going to throw out quotes like that in the middle of the night, the idea that this is some well-oiled machine here in Ottawa and that it's been a fine-tuned system of what you're doing, you know, come on. So, hey, all we can do is take the quotes. But when I see stuff like that those things are, you got to be real careful because the Belleville Senators, from everybody I talk to in coaching, has nothing but complimentary things to say about how organized and how well coached the Belleville Senators have been. I have not heard from anybody, JR, that has ever said otherwise.
Yeah, so a bunch of different things here. I'll add a little context, but just some nuts and bolts. My belief is that Troy Mann was in the second year of a two-year contract that he signed in 2021. So he was in, you know, the final half of the last season. And minor league coaches' contracts, Simmer, again, from having negotiated some, et cetera, what's fairly typical in terms of length of contract? I know it can be dependent on the coach or whatever, but what is pretty typical? And would a minor league coach make a lot of money? Would they make the same as an assistant in the NHL? Like, what's kind of the pay range?
Well, I got to be careful. JR, I have not been around that for a long time. But, you know, you make some very good money. But I won't even guesstimate on it. But, no, he'd be making. Now, to the timing of contracts is always interesting, though, because if you're an organization, and when he signed the contract, here would be a bit of the trick of the trade. If you understand under Eugene Melnyk, you were not allowed to interview for other teams' jobs if you were under contract. So if you're an American League coach, if you're offered a five-year deal, do you want to sign on to that with no thought that you'll ever advance? So I don't interpret or read too much into the term of the contract, but he certainly has established himself as a good American League coach. So I would start probably in and around 200 grand, but that is a absolute guesstimate on my part. But to the term of how long it is, like I said, there's a lot of factors there, but the majority of American League coaches aren't there to, you know, they're just like the players. They're like the broadcasters, you know, they're there putting in their time. And especially in the case of a guy like Mann at his age, at what, 54 years old, 53, you're trying to get to the NHL, JR. That's what you're looking at. So how you'd lock yourself in would be very different than, and as I said, you have to remember under Melnyk, that was also part of it. We heard that with Jack Capuano. You cannot go work for somebody else while you're under contract. So I'm not going to sign up for 5 years if I'm Mann.
Right, right. I can imagine this must be incredibly awkward for his brother, Trent Mann, who is now the other assistant general manager with the Ottawa Senators. Now he's more involved on the amateur scouting side, and Ryan Bonus, the assistant GM, was more in charge of running Belleville. But I can't think for a second it's church and state. It's, well, Trent Mann knows nothing about Belleville, and Ryan Bonus knows nothing about scouting and you know, who the prospects, who they're looking at drafting. I have to think that you have meetings all the time, and everything is being talked about, and everything is on the table. So, again, that's got to be weird.
Yeah. Oh, it would.
Fired the assistant general manager's brother.
Yeah, no, for sure. But again, that would also be trying to understand the dynamic of the whole thing. But for sure. And by Mann had moved to Ottawa, had he not?
Yes.
From, you know, so
Trent,
yes. Yeah, you have come in here. And it's all really allocation of duty, JR. But to your point, I mean, between Dorion along with Bonus and Mann, your conversations of what you're having in the office relate everything to do with farm team. To amateur to pro scouting. I mean, again, everyone is a little bit different in where you're in the pecking order, but when you're in the same building and working together, yeah, there wouldn't be any big secrets or anything else. So, yeah, it would be a really interesting dynamic to kind of understand. And I would assume we would probably find out via something fairly soon as to how the brother ends up feeling about it as well. But, yeah, for sure. And this is a bit of the awkward dynamic. You go back to Brian Murray along with Tim Murray. Hey, when you incorporate family into it, you know, it can lead to some awkward situations for sure.
It's always a possibility.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? You go in with your eyes wide open that, you know, things don't necessarily work out for one sibling as opposed to the other if they're going to be in the same organization.
But what is, I guess, interesting with the Mann brothers is that at least on the surface here, although an amateur scout, it would not have been like they would not have had communication in the sense of understanding what a player is all about as he's drafted, and then he comes through the system and then goes to the American Hockey League. It's kind of in conjunction of how to handle the athlete, how to develop them, kind of figuring out, hey, exactly what are they? And at the same time, if you're the coach, being completely honest with the guy that draft, because the people that draft players tend to think everyone's going to play, you know, what, where are you at on, hey, this is honestly what I'm seeing. But it would have appeared that the working relationship with everybody involved, including Sean Donovan, everyone else, that again, I think they've just done an excellent job of not rushing players, and anybody that's been down in Belleville, to me, has developed very good as a player and a person. I've never heard a bad thing, to be quite honest with you, and that can't, you know, can't think of one prospect other than Logan Brown, and even at that, I thought Belleville did a pretty good job of camouflaging, you know, and continuing to say all the right things when I think everybody kind of knew that this wasn't going in the right direction, and that was the very first-round pick when Pierre Dorion took over.
Okay, so Troy Mann appeared on the Coming in Hot podcast actually on Tuesday of this week with Brent Wallace and Jason York and Bobby Ryan. Fairly wide-ranging interview. And we hear Troy talk before and after Belleville Senators games. The organization has limited his availability outside of that, you know, for the most part. So this was a rare time that we've heard from Troy outside of Belleville stuff in a while. So we pulled a couple of clips from the podcast, and again, appreciate this from the Coming In Hot podcast. Here's Troy Mann on the challenge this season dealing with all the injuries and call-ups.
You know, it's been a difficult season when it comes to that, you know, with the roster fluctuation and just trying to piece it together. You know, as Ryan Bonus says to me, it's one day at a time, you know, and it's obviously a double-edged sword when the Sens are going through it as well. We went through it early, like where we had up to 11 regulars out of the lineup and the Sens were relatively healthy. And then we started getting the odd guy back and then all of a sudden started up there as well. So, you know, they're finally getting healthy and we're getting a little bit healthy, but we'll see, you know, if we can make a little bit of a push here in the next 30 games to try and slide into that, you know, final spot.
Well, Troy won't be doing that. He did get the win last night, but was fired after the game last night. So, as I mentioned, it's a wide-ranging interview. Troy Mann is in his fifth season as the head coach with Belleville, so in Ottawa's organization. Before that, he had spent 4 years in Hershey as the head coach with their Washington Capitals American Hockey League team. So this is his ninth season as a head coach at the American Hockey League level. And to your point that you just mentioned, Simmer, like players, like broadcasters, like executives at the minor league level, everybody aspires to try to get to the next level, in this case, the National Hockey League. And after 500 games or more as a head coach in the American Hockey League, Troy Mann aspires to get to the NHL as well. Here he was talking about his personal future.
It's all about the grind, and, you know, I love every day of it. And, you know, hopefully at some point you just, you know, it's like players, right? It's they're playing to get to the National Hockey League, regardless if you're 21 or 27 or 28. And it's the same in the coaching fraternity. You know, you just love to come to the rink every day, but you just keep doing it because you hope that you're going to, the work will pay off, that you get the call one day. And I'm just thankful that, you know, I've been very fortunate. I've only worked with two organizations at the American League level. So I guess they continue to think I'm doing a good job of developing their prospects. And ultimately, that's what it's about as well, right?
All right. Again, there's a Troy Mann, courtesy of the Coming In Hot podcast from Tuesday after. And, of course, he was fired last night. So anything in either of those two clips, Simmer, that caught your ear?
No,
other than the irony, I guess, of some of it?
No, it doesn't catch my ear. I'll say this, and again, I kind of would speak out of both sides, and that I always appreciated Mr. Mann coming on the station here and being very open and very honest about prospects. But I'll also be honest, if I was working for the Washington Capitals or the Toronto Maple Leafs, I probably, now Toronto was different, although, well, let's use it St. John. We had Doug Shedden at the time and other coaches I've had. I would find it very strange that the American League coach would be calling into the local radio station in the main city and giving as much information. I know the fans love it. I'm just saying to myself, JR, that, you know, I you know, the controlling, you don't really, there's nothing you need to do about your prospects ever when it comes to the media other than just say they're the greatest thing ever. And then that's up to the rest of the world to interpret how you feel about them. So it'd be interesting.
And Troy Mann, and at any point, you know, that podcast, when he was on the station, you're right. He was incredibly honest.
Yeah.
There was no BS meter. The BS meter was at zero on that.
Yeah. And like I said, if say, and I just trying to relate it to Ryan Bonus, say, and you're working for the Pittsburgh Penguins, the coach from Wilkes-Barre Scranton is calling into Pittsburgh radio on a weekly basis and talking about your prospects. It's you know, where things are so controlled, JR. Mm-hmm. I can't think of another market where that happens, to be quite honest with you. And it's a benefit of the radio station, and certainly people love it. And most of what, and I said, you could feel the navigation they had to do with Logan Brown, but the majority of what you did with it, it has been very positive. Like I said, I can't think of like a major miss or one that you've had to, other than Logan Brown, kind of navigate around. Like even the honesty with Nick Paul, you know, of coming back down and working his way back up. Drake Batherson, he's not quite ready. But it is, if you were to look to something of, you know, there's being honest and then there's also organizationally
speaking with one voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's doesn't relate to sports. It relates to any business. Not that, you know, people are not, you know, doing interviews with, you know, the third vice president of finance of the Royal Bank necessarily. Yeah. But and maybe more so, this is sports, they're, you're right. It is, I don't want to say it's unusual, but, you know, organizationally, often it is the general manager. It's like with the we rarely, if ever, hear from the assistant coaches, right? Yeah, it's always DJ Smith.
Yeah, and that part, you know, I think in the NHL, because not a lot is said, JR, I think the head assistant coaches could do more in a sense of, hey, a press conference the day of a game, this is what's going on, you don't have to go too deep. But in the controlling of information, I don't really, this is why teams have pro scouts, is to go out and find out about individuals, what's going on in an organization, everything else. Again, I'm not saying that there's major secrets, but I would be curious as to whether, both in that and then being on a podcast or whatever else. Now, I would also like to think that he had approval from the organization to go on something like that. Like, I don't think it would be a good idea. And I'm always surprised when, you know, Jimmy Montgomery, now he's a friend, but when you go through these things, a lot of times, you know, they are asked to check off pretty quickly, especially out of market, to make sure it's okay that you're doing stuff like that.
Okay, let's get some texts to 12-1200 that have come in on this story from Unsigned. The Sens board must impose a moratorium on any moves by the current management before they do any further damage to this organization's future. Shane writes, obviously Troy wasn't on board with the 5-on-5 dumpster fire defensive zone coverage the big team plays. From Unsigned, they tried the, quote, play the same system with Kleinendorst and Boucher, and they were two of the worst coaches the organization has ever seen. From Unsigned, so much for Mr. Loyalty's loyalty. The Dorian Gong Show continues. From Chris, so the coach in Belleville is fired for performance-based issues. Does this mean they are happy with the performance in Ottawa, being out of it since November again? The line that really struck me in the press release was the need for, quote, more cohesion and systematic play between Belleville and Ottawa. I'm speculating, but it seems to me as though Mr. Mann may have disagreed with the systematic coaching approach here in Ottawa and has been resistant to implementing a similar system in Belleville. Either way, another head-scratching decision for sure. That's from Chris. This, I'll reserve judgment on the Mann dismissal until we get the full facts, but the initial smell test seems to indicate that, yet again, the Sens cannot get out of their own way. If this was purely a hockey decision, it's incomprehensible. That's from Mark listening in Barrie. So that's some of the comments that we've received so far. So again, I think that Troy Mann, and maybe some of it speaks to the fact that he has been an open book about the prospects. Yeah. And I also think, I will say this, that the minor league coach, when the NHL team is struggling, and the head coach has been there for a while, like the backup goalie, like the backup quarterback, is often the most popular person there is. Nobody likes the person doing the job.
Yeah, good point.
The person underneath them always kind of looks like the good guy in all this. And again, this is not to say that Troy Mann isn't a great coach or whatever. Yeah, I'm just saying that this kind of follows a playbook that we often see in sports.
Oh, absolutely, Jer. And but also to that, and as I said, I like to talk to other coaches and talk to people that are in the American League. And as I said, man, oh, man, the people that I respect, and when I ask about how you feel about him as a coach, and man, oh, man, like I say, system-wise, development-wise, everything he does, and I'll say at the same time, just representing the organization very well. And to some of those texts, it is just, you know, again, the whole, and I keep just trying to get my head around on a team that's obviously up for sale, has gone into the next phase of, I think it's now a question of not if, but when it will be sold. You know, when I'm sitting at home this week and I'm just, you know, I'm hearing about they might be buyers. Now, it's only in the media, but, and then you fire your coach and everything else that's kind of going on right now. It is peculiar, to say the least, on trying to kind of figure out where this is kind of all headed.
All right, so again, the news from late last night, the Belleville Senators announced the firing of Troy Mann as their head coach. Again, to give some context for those that are just kind of joining the conversation, this is not the usual way that things are done at the American Hockey League level in particular. For performance-related reasons, as the press release stated, again, people that follow the league very closely suggest there has maybe been only two occasions in the last 10 to 15 years in which coaches were fired mid-season for performance-related reasons. There obviously have been coaches that have been elevated when there have been changes at the NHL level. There have been coaches that have left for health-related reasons. But for performance-related reasons, doesn't happen very often. So this is unusual what Ottawa has done in terms of firing their minor league coach in the middle of the season.
And also to that, and I don't know much about David Belgier, it's not like, and again, you would see a circumstance the odd time where an assistant coach might go down to the American Hockey League, take over, maybe you bring in somebody else. Obviously, you're just kind of going with status quo. It'll be David Bell and did Ben Sexton.
Yes.
That's there. So you continue along the rest of the year. And also, when you look at, and I just go through the roster, first of all, with all the injuries, the graduation of prospects, everything happened, when Mr. Sabourin's your leading goal scorer, you're not exactly, again, this isn't a team like they had a few years ago, which good on them, that was built to probably take a run, to have a long playoff. I kind of look, and again, I put 90% in. Our guy's ready to come up to the NHL. Have you done a good job of developing? Well, he's done an excellent job. And as far as the roster construction this year, based on injury and everything else, just not a very good hockey team. Mm-hmm. And so I cannot argue at all or look at any fault as to where they are in the standings right now.
Yeah. All of that and everything we've discussed and what a lot of people have said just doesn't, to the one texter's point of it, doesn't pass the smell test. It doesn't.
Not at all.
There has to be something else at play. Whether we either find out or not, that's a matter for another day and time. All right, 744, continue to share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. Dave Poulin will join us, our TSN Hockey Insider, after 8 on this Friday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. All right, we're back, 7:53 on this frigid Friday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. Again, Dave Poulin is coming up in about 15 minutes or so from now. We'll look ahead to a little bit to All-Star Weekend, some of the news from the last couple of days. Kind of bend his ear a little bit on the Mark Stone news. If you missed it from a couple of days ago, Mark Stone's second back surgery in a couple of, well, within the last 12 months.
Yeah.
The one last year after he missed some regular season time, made it back for the playoffs after the season, had off-season back surgery, played this year, hurt again, has undergone back surgery, out indefinitely. There's no timeline in his return. Yeah. That's certainly a big chunk of change Vegas could use if he's put on long-term injured and maybe he has a Kucherovian-type recovery. Just ready in time for the playoffs, and all of a sudden, we have a bounty of cap space. And you know Vegas wants to win, so I wonder if that potentially is in play.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, JR, or at some point just writing off his ticket. Because let's look at the Stone situation for a guy that was never a great skater. When you think about what he relies on, incredible hockey sense, but it's also the leverage of stripping pucks, which with a bad back, newsflash. And when we look at that Montreal series from a couple of years ago, Mark Stone, as seasons went on, and this was even an issue here in Ottawa when he was in his prime, even when they went on the run in 2017, JR, he was actually relatively quiet. He is not showing the ability to really have that. He couldn't get inside against Montreal. It was as simple as that. Like, he looked like a shell of himself. I would say, very big picture, this is not a good sign for where the Vegas program is going, and certainly for Mark Stone. And like Erik Karlsson, just glad that he got paid. He got a hell of a contract. Mm-hmm. Was nothing but a great pro. He's a great story. But I don't think long-term that this is going to go well at all for a guy that we always kind of worried about. If it dropped a little bit with the skating, on a couple of back surgeries. And you don't hear about back surgeries very much anymore, JR, right? I mean, it's rare to hear that term. Like, it's almost always shoulders these days.
Especially two. But backs and shoulders are the two that you actually, I kind of worry about more than knees now. Knees, they seem to have it down where you're able to get a guy back up to 100%.
Yeah,
now, multiple knee injuries can be different, but
if we're talking about
a first-time torn ACL, we often see guys come back, and it's like they miss a lot of time, but they don't miss a beat in terms of recovery. Yeah. But shoulders, it's kind of like, it's sort of a little bit like concussions, right? You get one, the next one becomes a little bit easier to get, and backs.
Yeah.
Again, you have multiple back surgeries, you're right, but that's just one of those ones that you never get 100%.
No, and as I said, really looking at what made Mark Stone tick, I know it sounds crazy, JR, but I never looked at him like Alfie, right, where all of a sudden he'd establish down low and just all of a sudden block people out. Mark Stone was so intelligent, so smart with stripping the puck all the time, that when the leverage portion is gone, along with, again, anyone that's dealt with bad backs, and I'm fortunate not to have done that, JR, but it just zaps everything out of you, right? It takes all your leverage away. And again, for a guy that's not a great skater, and then you just really start to comb through that Vegas roster and understand where Eichel's season is at now to Mark Stone. And then really, hey, Chandler Stephenson, we laugh. He is your leading scorer, though. is your all-star, there's a lot more holes in that, and it almost feels like they've exhausted all their resources, both in prospects and everything else, and they're kind of sitting there and saying, where the hell do we go now?
Now, if we're going down the Mark Stone rabbit hole right now, the return on the trade been well debated, not up to snuff, especially for a player signed to a contract extension. All that to say, you know, we all indications were at the time before the trade happened is that the Ottawa Senators did want to try to sign Mark Stone, and that when it didn't happen, that they decided, or he decided, that he wanted to be moved along. Whether it was on purpose or whether it's by accident, does this end up being, even though the return isn't great, does this end up being a good move at the end of the day for the Sens, that they are not sitting on a Mark Stone contract right now of 9.5? You know, if he signed a similar deal here in Ottawa, let's say, or thereabouts,
For sure.
They're not sitting on another, however, I mean, you'd be, you know, again, we don't know his future. I don't want to speculate too much on that, but you know what I mean? Like, they'd be sitting on, you know, if the rest of it is the same and you've got, you know, a player that appears to be kind of breaking down.
Yeah. And I guess what scares me even more, I don't know how many times we've heard accidentally where they wanted to sign somebody but didn't, then got kind of lucky. I'm not sure.
Luck is a part of sports. Yeah. Well, we say that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, to that initially, that's not to let, and you look down the road, obviously, with the Pacioretty situation is about the best parallel of bringing home a new Nick Suzuki versus what they brought. But hey, the fact, and I think that was all of our debate at the time, JR, was, okay, you'd like to keep him around, and there might be some burn at the end, but there was also the feeling of, okay, this is the one glue guy that would kind of help you progress in as far as a rebuild. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
Okay, more on the Troy Mann situation. We'll discuss it with Dave Poulin as well. He'd have some great insight as a person been involved in the game as long as he did and in management in Toronto. So we'll talk to Dave about that. Continue to take your reaction as well throughout the rest of the morning. Again, if you're just waking up and have missed the news, Troy Mann was fired as coach of the Belleville Senators after their game last night. Okay, couple things. Tonight on TSN 1200, we're going to have the Capital Hoops Classic. U Ottawa and Carleton. This time it's basketball. They just did hockey, the Colonel By Classic, right. And of course we had the Panda game in the fall. This is the third of the three. Women's game tips at 6, and the men's game at around 8 down at TD Place Arena. AJ Jakubek, Elias Elzane, our old friend,
awesome,
is back on color. They'll have the broadcast tonight of both the games tipping at 6 o'clock. I checked with the folks at U Ottawa. They're actually hosting this year because they alternate. Yesterday, and they said over 6,000 tickets had been sold as of yesterday.
Awesome.
So
yeah,
we're going to have a great crowd at TD Place Arena. They weren't quite sure what the walk-up might be in minus 40-degree temperatures tonight, but we know kids, students, very resilient. Yeah. In fact, most of them probably won't even be wearing coats.
Yeah.
Be wearing shorts, face paint. That's it, walking to the rink tonight.
And I'm also guessing the majority of this works out just nicely, because it feels like, to me, an alumni event as much as students. Do they get that many students or something like this year?
I think they get quite a few.
Okay, so sure. But I'm going alumni, and you got Joey's across the street, so this does work out on a Friday night. You have an opportunity, and always love hearing AJ call basketball, and Elias as well, a basketball background, so that will be a whole lot of fun to see how that ends up going, and something to do on a real cold Friday night. And also, I wonder if they're going to have to get a little space heater action up at the top of the Civic Center there. Have they closed in those walls that we used to see outside during the Memorial Cup that made it night? Like,
I don't think it's quite that bad, but it'll give you a good natural
They got the big curtain going
underneath.
So we're going to have to maybe bring your own heat pack there, but it should be a fun night. It'd be nice to be inside.
All four teams involved, so the Carleton men's and women's team and the U Ottawa men's and women's team, all ranked in the U Sports top 10.
Awesome.
So we've got, you know, fantastic. The best of the best. We got such great basketball programs, not only at the university level here, but the minor, development system as well. Club teams, really, really good here in Ottawa.
Very much so. Any idea if is the bus driver still playing for Algonquin? The fellow that came out a few years ago?
I don't know. I hadn't heard on that. That's true. How old was he again?
He was in his 40s, wasn't he?
Yeah. That was a really good story as well. All right, just past 8 o'clock. We'll take a break. Latest news and sports is on the way, and then we're going to come back and talk with Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider. We'll talk some All-Star Weekend, talk some Mark Stone, and we'll talk about the Troy Mann decision as well from the SNs. That's all coming up next on this Friday on Sports Radio TSN 1200.